have a fantasy football question? Call the Fan Line at 336-1230. And now, back to Fantasy Football Thursday with Chris Tubbs and David Brown.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Thursday. We are live at the Dairy Queen at 57th and Western. And thanks to Michael for hooking us up here. Michael, appreciate it, buddy. You know, that's it's funny because we were talking about Rob Gronkowski in the first segment, and he was just mentioning that, you know, I drafted, and I just kind of saw the pain look on his face where he was talking about Rob Gronkowski, and it was just, I kind of felt bad for him. But we are here at 57th and Western. It is Miracle Treat Day. Come on out here, get yourself a Blizzard, and at least a part of the proceeds, at least a dollar, goes to help the Children's Miracle Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got five questions we're going to throw at you, but I got a little either-or here for you, David. Let's go to the desert. Wide receiver, if you had to choose one, which one do you want, Larry Fitzgerald or Michael Floyd?
See, here's what's interesting. I looked at this when we first sort of tried to come up with, you know, what topic should we talk about.
That's hot.
And I'm just like, Chris nearly burned his mouth on a cheese curd right now. You guys, I wish you would have seen it.
I'm gonna have me some Blizzard.
And actually, I believe I got your Blizzard over here.
Did you?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
What kind do you have?
Tasted like a Reese's or a Butterfinger. See, we're already way off track. But either way, regardless, we'll fix it at some point. So I look at Michael Floyd or Larry Fitzgerald, and I think, oh, of course, Larry Fitzgerald. Why wouldn't you take Larry Fitzgerald? He's this all-pro receiver. He's been a pro bowler since his rookie season, practically. But then I looked a little deeper into the numbers. I think I might take Michael Floyd over Larry Fitzgerald, and here's why. Last eight games of the season, Floyd had more receiving yards than Larry in six of them. He only had two 100-yard games, Michael Floyd, that is, last year. But you know how many Larry had? One. If we repeat my Heath Miller line from last week, just one.
One.
Just one. And you want to know why I take Floyd? Because people out there probably still look at the name recognition of Larry Fitzgerald, and they want to draft him early. You can get Michael Floyd later in the draft. You don't have to reach up and grab him in the third round. He might get a little more hype, but Floyd is someone who will probably be taken in, I would guess, at least 95% of drafts after Larry Fitzgerald. But the stats show Floyd was better down the stretch than Fitzgerald last season. I would go with Floyd.
Yeah, and I got to go with the same way. It's mostly name recognition. Hearing nothing but good things coming out of Arizona. And as of right now, as of earlier today, Michael Floyd has actually overtaken Larry Fitzgerald as the number one wide receiver. The guy's only 24 years old. And consider this, I mean, Fitzgerald saw 135 targets last year. He's going to continue to be that target machine, but I look at the age. Floyd is only 24 years old. He's got long-term wide receiver number one. You can get better value now, but I really believe that this could be Larry Fitzgerald's last year in Arizona. After that, you've got it's Michael Floyd's team after that.
I think Larry Fitzgerald will take the hometown discount, go to the Vikings. Here's my Homer side coming out again.
Oh, man, dude.
I'm kidding.
All right. Let's throw another question out at you. If you've got the number one overall pick, LeSean McCoy, Jamaal Charles, or Adrian Peterson.
This is hard because these are unequivocally the best three running backs.
These should be, in 90% of your draft, these should be the first three picks.
Absolutely. So I look at it from this standpoint. Adrian Peterson, his workload from a running back standpoint will probably go down because Norv's made it clear that he wants to get him involved in the passing game. The issue I have with that is Peterson's never really been that great of a pass catcher, so you don't know what kind of production he's going to do. So if he has less rushing yards, based on what they say they're going to try and reduce his workload, and you don't know what he has in the passing game, that doesn't add up to fantasy points for you. So I would eliminate AP right away. So now it's down between McCoy and Charles. Okay. With McCoy, you mentioned the Dallas defense and how they're going to play him twice and how you might bump McCoy up. I still think, even though McCoy will be productive, that Darren Sproles will take some of the pass catching away from him, whereas in Kansas City, they don't really have a backup or an answer that's being very clear-cut for Jamaal Charles. I was actually at Chiefs training camp yesterday for Midco Sports Network doing some other stories. Charles was about the only player out there who looked like he belonged. Alex Smith looked terrible. Charles was weaving in and out. He was catching passes from both Smith and Chase Daniel. I like Charles' versatility. I would slightly bump Charles above McCoy. I don't think you can go wrong, but for my money, I would take Charles.
And I thought about that. I was a Jamaal Charles guy up until just a couple of days ago. Here's why I like LeSean McCoy. The fact that Chip Kelly last year, the Eagles ranked fourth in the league in rushing attempts. They finished 13th in offensive plays per game. Chip Kelly's offseason focus, what is it? It's increasing the tempo. I think Darren Sproles overall is actually going to help LeSean McCoy because you've got another option out of the backfield. Jeremy Maclin, what is his concern? What is the issue with Jeremy Maclin? I know he left with a hamstring. He's got that knee issue. I love Jeremy Maclin. I still think that he's got a chance to be a really solid fantasy contributor. But I think he's got the most versatility. That Chiefs offensive line, I think that's a little bit of a concern. I give McCoy the slight edge over Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson. So McCoy, Charles, and Peterson, that's the way that I've got those three. Let's move down the running backs a little bit. Giovanni Bernard or Andre Ellington, which one of those guys are you taking if they're both on the board?
Well, see, what I read just before we went on was that Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Cardinals, wants to use Andre Ellington in a Jamal Charles-like role as sort of that
back. They envision him as their Jamal Charles. I saw those words verbatim.
But I haven't seen it from Ellington yet. He had 154 rushing game last year against, I believe it was Atlanta. And then in every other game, he had nothing above 70 yards. The Cards' offensive line is still atrocious. Bernard, I grant you, fell off at the end of last year. He had less than 100 yards in his last three games combined. But with a better line and a more established position, I know Jeremy Hill might challenge him a little bit. I would still roll the Bernard. He's young. Ellington's young. I don't know what we have with Ellington yet. He's just too inconsistent. Bernard at least showed enough flashes last year to where I would trust him right now more than Ellington. I see Ellington in that Jamal Charles type role. At least that's what they're saying about him. I just don't know if he can prove it out on the field yet.
Well, I've been hearing more and more that Giovanni Bernard, we talked about Jeremy Hill possibly being those that goal line vulture in Cincinnati. Giovanni Bernard is going to get more goal line carries as the season approaches. And to me, all of a sudden, if you can get two or three more scores out of him, Cincinnati, they're going to change things over a little bit more. Cincinnati's going to run the ball a little bit more. Other than A.J. Green, I drafted Tyler Eifert as a backup in one of my dynasty leagues as a tight end. I'm not expecting anything out of him. Marvin Jones is hurt. He's going to be out for about 6 weeks. And then you got something named Mohamed Sanu somewhere along the line. So I think there's going to be more asked of Giovanni Bernard. I gave him the slight edge, but I think overall the offense in Arizona is a little more dynamic. I want to see the packages that are developed for Andre Ellington.
Right, we just don't know yet.
We don't know.
They can say he'll be Jamal Charles, but until you see it, and he hasn't proven that yet.
Let's go to our Battle of the Mats as you're listening to Fantasy Football Thursday here on KWSN. Matt Schaub or Matt Castle?
Now, you're going to laugh at this because I trashed Matt Schaub, I believe, the first time when we discussed
quarterbacks. Can I just say this is going to be your homer side, Matt Castle, then we'll move on? Or
no.
No.
I would take Matt Schaub because if you're choosing between Matt Schaub and...
Are you serious?
If you're choosing between Matt Schaub and Matt Castle right now, they better be for your backup quarterback. I would pray that it's for a backup quarterback spot. And when do you use a backup quarterback? When your other guy's injured.
Or you're bye.
Okay. And when's that going to happen? Later in the season. Who's still going to be starting later in the season? Matt Schaub will probably still be starting later in the season. I think Teddy Bridgewater will take over for Castle quicker than Derek Carr takes over for Matt Schaub. And if the Raiders, as most people project, are going to be one of the worst, if not the worst team in the NFL this year, you're going to have a lot of come-from-behind games, a lot of aired-out situations where Schaub can rack up those meaningless yards in an NFL game, but very meaningful yards for a fantasy owner. If it's a backup quarterback situation like I hope, you take Matt Schaub. As much as I don't think he'll produce, I think later in the season when you'll need him, Schaub will still be out there and Castle won't.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. The Vikings have better skill players than the Oakland Raiders do.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Okay, offensive philosophy. Matt Castle's in a better offensive system than Matt Schaub is. Teddy Bridgewater should not see the field this year for the Vikings unless we're talking about a situation where Matt Castle gets hurt. We've seen that you should take your time with Teddy Bridgewater. We know that we want to see that. I think that Matt Castle, if he can stay upright, if he can stay, he's not going to be a dynamic guy, but let's give the guy his due. He was a two-time Pro Bowler, I think, with New England. and with Kansas City. I'm not going to say that that's the guy that the Vikings are going to get, but if I'm looking at one guy, one or the other, the Raiders are just too dysfunctional. I love Andre Holmes. I think, you know, 6'4" target. I think he's a great player. I think he's got a chance to be the number one wide receiver. But outside of that, James Jones, Denarius Moore, Rod Streeter, Darren McFadden, Maurice Jones-Drew, these are not guys that I feel comfortable surrounding Matt Schaub. Look at the other side, Kai Rudolph, Cordarrelle Patterson, Adrian Peterson. I trust in these guys more.
I agree that their offense is better. I'm looking at it strictly from you're drafting this guy or you're picking this guy to be a backup quarterback specifically, unless you've just completely you-know-what the bed and forgotten about a quarterback through the first 9 rounds of your draft. And so you need a backup during a bye week or if your starting QB gets injured, and that's later in the season where I think Schaub will still be playing and Castle won't. That's my main basis for this. I agree that the Vikings have a better offense, but I don't know if Castle's going to be in there as opposed to Schaub, who I think will be in.
Let's talk about some of the guys that we're going to buy some stock in. I love me some Jordan Matthews right now. I'm a little concerned with Riley Cooper. He's been in that walking boot. He's been a little nicked up. Jeremy Maclin. I've said it, and I feel like a broken record. I think Jeremy Maclin, when healthy, can be the DeSean Jackson, maybe even a little bit more upside than DeSean Jackson. But Jordan Matthews, here's the rookie out of Vanderbilt, wowing people in OTAs. And if guys get hurt, here's a chance for Jordan Matthews to step in and really become a significant contributor right off the bat for Chip Kelly. I mean, he should be a red zone threat. I think if you can get a rookie year out of him, maybe like a Marcus Colson, 70 for 1,038 yards and 8 touchdowns, I think that's huge. I think there are enough guys in this offense that can be big time players.
I am buying stock in Brandon Cooks. He showed what we all thought he could do in that first preseason game.
Absolutely.
Playing a variety of different positions, inside, outside slot. I believe he had 83 yards. He will be, at some point this season, if not before, the number one receiver for the Saints. Marcus Colston is so hit or miss every single week. I think Cooks gives them that dynamic playmaker who's sort of like that five-tool baseball player. He can play so many different positions and so many positions well. Come out of the backfield on screen passes. Slot guy, inside, outside, can get a jump ball. I think Brandon Cooks is the real deal. I would heavily buy stock in him.
He's got a chance to be the offensive rookie of the year this year.
Absolutely.
No question. Another guy that I'm liking is James White, the rookie running back out of New England, getting first-team reps. Now, that might not mean anything with Belichick. We know that. But Shane Vereen, Stephen Ridley, we know how Belichick likes to roll with his tailbacks. If a rookie's getting first-team reps, maybe we're reading into it a little bit too much, but if a rookie's getting first-team reps after week one of the preseason, I'm going to keep an eye on him. He might be worth, in a dynasty league, you're definitely going to keep an eye on him. In a redraft league or a keeper league, might be worth a late-round flyer.
This is a guy that I have never really liked fantasy-wise, but I'm going to buy stock in Andy Dalton. I think he showed in just 5 passes against the Chiefs in that first preseason game all he needed to show. It was kind of like Matt Castle's drive. Matt Castle had that fantastic first drive, and he went out and sort of everything you need to know. He had that 53-yard strike, Dalton that is, to Green for a touchdown. They're always going to be in sync. You know they'll be in sync. The emergence of Eifert as a complement to Jermaine Gresham, Jeremy Hill, and Bernard coming out of the backfield. I think Dalton, even though some people may be leery, oh, he got that big new contract, he doesn't have to worry about performing now. I think he hears the criticism of all those playoff exits, early first-round playoff exits, and I think he's determined this year. I think Dalton would be a good flyer as a potential backup or maybe even a late starting quarterback.
Let's real quick talk about a couple of guys that were selling stock. I'm a little worried about Aaron Foster. The more that we get into training camp, the longer that we're waiting for him to get on the field. This may be the last we see of Arian Foster, and it pains me to say that because I think he's only 27 years old, but he has taken on a lot of wear and tear. When he comes out and he said that he was thinking about retiring in the offseason, I'm a little concerned. I don't know if that's a guy that – I think I got one more year in him, but other than that, I would see Arian Foster starting to fall off that fantasy radar.
And what's funny is he invested in a company last year where you could literally buy stock of Arian Foster's future earnings, and it's ironic because I am selling stock on him too. We did not compare notes. I have him down here.
We did not.
Completely shut out the first game, And it seems Arian Foster nowadays is just concerned with trying to be the best teammate he can be. If you listen to any of his interviews, that is literally all he says. Any question you ask him, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can possibly be. This is a guy, you don't want to read too much into how he responds to the media, but he seems aloof. He seems like he doesn't really care that much. The Houston Texans offense can't seem to find a quarterback. Fitzpatrick did terrible. Now it might be Keenum. You don't know what the motivation of Andre Johnson's like. Their entire offense is just in shambles. Sell on Arian Foster.
He's David Brown. I'm Chris Tubbs. This is Fantasy Football Thursday. When we come back, we've got five questions that we're going to ask and answer. Plus, we've got some fantasy football rules to follow. That's all coming up as you're listening to Fantasy Football Thursday here at Sioux Falls Sports Radio, AM 1230 and FM 98.1 KWSN.